Okay, so there is one exception to the Yeovil rule, which returns land. Well, there's a few exceptions, actually. One of them is I think in many ways surprising. Yesterday there's a new journal out, and Ray Brody wrote an article for it on the Torah's view on social justice. And one of the things he discussed is Yeovil. And on the chain, there were a lot of people who were, more on the left, who were critical that he said, the Torah doesn't really believe in redistribution of wealth, which I think is fair, because as we talked about yesterday, Yeovil only forced the return of ancestral lands. There's a lot of other money and things out there. But someone commented, and I've seen this in several places, people more on the left, I haven't seen in traditional sources, but I've seen in moderns, claiming that what Yeovil is really opposed to is intergenerational wealth, or is inherited wealth, which, again, I don't find compelling, per se. As we talked about yesterday, I do think that so much of the emphasis on Yeovil is on the land, per se, because of Ni Hashem, and it's about being Israel, and you really can make a lot of money even if you're not holding land generation to generation, meaning if you,
not everything was agricultural.
I mean, sure, but if you have land and you're like renting it out for 50 years, right? So you still have collected wealth. There's still a lot of money and animals and animals and things like that.
If they didn't want like a monopoly, like one guy buys
this
amount of land and then he gets more money.
Well, that's what we talked about yesterday. You weren't there, Batal, but that we talked yesterday, what we called as corrective capitalism, right? That's what the way Jabotinsky puts it, right? That it's corrective capitalism. Meaning it's fundamentally capitalist, but making sure that things don't spiral out of control, rather than, this specific opposition to intergenerational wealth. I don't find any of these things per se compelling, but what I wanted to focus on more specifically is there is an exception which really forces you to ask, right, which I think has to be taken in as an important data point when figuring out what Yeovil means, and that is that at the end of Parakot Hay, you get the Ish Kimkor Beit Moshav Ir Choma Vaita Gulato Atom Shnat Mimkaro Yamim Tie Gulato Vim Lo Yigayal Ad Lo Shenat Mimah V'Kama Bayit Asher Ir Asher Lo Choma Letzmitut Lakone Oto L'Dor Atav Lo Yisei Bayovel. If you buy a house in a walled city, so you have a year to redeem it. If you don't redeem it, then what? We were talking about this a little bit in Ian's share, right? Because the question of whether you can do it, your son can do it. Okay, that's an interesting lumdic question, which we talked about at length, right? But if it's in the city after the year, whoever's allowed to redeem it, you, your son, whatever, what happens? It's forever. Yeovil doesn't reverse it, right? L'dorotav. It doesn't have a wall around it, so then it does go. So, however you understand Yeovil, you have to wonder, why is this true? And why are walled cities, different? And it's interesting that not all Mepharshim even really take up this this question directly, but some of them do. So let's go through a few answers and see what it tells us maybe about Yeovil more fully. So the Ramban does take it up, and he says, "Bavur shemem kar beito shel adam kasha beinav ma'od, ve'evosh menu be'et sheyim kirenu, ratzah tori shegalenu betoch ha'shana rishona, bavur ki adam lustei ne'evad, menu yitzei lechem l'mechiyato, ratzah sheyitzei aseh yovel, aval habayit la'achar ha'yeush, sheshina dirato v'amad shana be'beit acher, lo yazik lo, ki lo timat mechiyato im yachlit, v'atei chatzirim, Asim l'shmirat sadot l'yotam moshav l'ovdei d'mal kin dinam kesei aretz." Okay, so what does the Ramban say? It says, first thing he addresses is why you get a year to buy it back, right? Which, honestly, was not my biggest question on this whole thing, but he says the reason you get a year is because it really hurts when someone sells their house. So we want to, basically put the pressure on you to, buy it back. Okay, fine. But then he transitions to the question of why don't you, right? Why doesn't it go back in Yeovil? So here he says, well, land you use for your sustenance, right? It's mimenu yete lechem l'chiyato. And therefore, the Torah wants it to come back to you. But a house, look, it's hard to sell your house, but once you've picked up and moved, like we all know this, right? If you've ever moved, how many of you ever moved houses? Okay, yes, they have. I've moved many times, right? You never moved? Really? Like the house you were born? God. Well, I mean, I moved when I was 4. I moved when I was 6. You know. Well, I was born in Brooklyn. And even in Staten Island, we rented while we tried out the community for a few years, and then we bought, like, a few blocks away, but we, right? But, and then, obviously, since I've been married, you know, I lived in the Heights, and then, you know, and then in Israel, and then in Toronto, and then back in Israel, right? I've done a lot of international moving. So he says, look, it's hard at the beginning, but once you've settled into a new place, not getting back your old house doesn't hurt you. Right? Like, you've settled into a new community, right? How many people, if you told them, right, like, how many of you, okay, how many of your parents grew up in the same house you live in now? I assume 0, right? No?
Parents?
Yes, your parents. Right, exactly. So if I told you, at Yovel, I told your parents, oh, well, we're done with Hempstead, go back to wherever you were born, right? How many of them would be thrilled with that prospect, right? They built a life in Hempstead, now go wherever, right? Not so many, right? That's Ramban's point. Ramban says, look, land is about sustenance. And as we talked about, you want to give people a chance, however you want to look at it. Again, I don't think that you look at the Ramban, he says anything about intergenerational wealth, right? It's more that, as we talked about with Jabotinsky, corrective capitalism, right? We want to make sure that people don't basically get to a point where they can never sustain themselves. That's true of land, which was the ancient equivalent of whatever, the means of production, to use, you know, whatever charged economic language there. But someone's house, right? If it's just a house, it's in a walled city. It's not a agricultural place. Like, once they move and once they've settled in, you get a year to basically regret your decision, right? Which is like, you know what? I really liked where I used to live, right? But after that, you've settled in a new place. It doesn't hurt you, right? And who wants to go back? So, and then he says the only exception are houses that are not in a walled city that are like in fields, because those tend to be integrated, right? You use them to watch your field, right? If your house is connected to your business in that sense, so fuck. But I think when you look at the Ramban, right, Toch Gedeh, he tells you something about Yovel, right? The point of Yovel is to make sure that people have sustenance, right, is to make sure that they don't completely, right, or at least one of the points, and to create a certain connection, comfort, and whatever. But therefore, in cases where it's not relevant, right, like a house in a walled city where the only thing it is a house, right, we don't do that. Right. And again, I think it's interesting that it's not about, right, the Torah does here, you know, allow you to pass that down to your children, right? It's not like the Torah has a problem with this. And what you learn from here, right, people who will say, oh, right, the Torah is like absolutely opposed to you passing down to your children. Not sure. You could buy up an entire walled city. You could buy up all of Yerushalayim. Right? You could buy all the real estate in the old city of Yerushalayim, right, and pass it down to your children, right, and won't go back in Yovel, right? That doesn't seem to be the main focus, right? It's about, yes, making sure that people don't become so destitute that they can never recover, right? And creating a certain comfort, but therefore, when that doesn't apply, so the halacha doesn't apply. Chizkuni takes a little bit of a different approach. He says, Kevin she'ir mukevet choma, in karka bayit omed l'zriyal l'olam, v'akadosh baruch hu gozer lach zriva rak b'karka shechiyura adam teloi bo. So his first answer is the same as the Ramban. Right, based on Bechor Shor. Right, and again, the point is, God doesn't want to cut off your ability to support yourself. But then he gives another one. Davar Acher, Stama Kone Bayit Bir Choma L'Olam Ukone. Ki Veveit Acherim En Adam Osir Litkashev Yafeh V'Lasot Bo Shum Binyan. V'Chach Katab Olo Yitzeh Bayovel. V'Astev Atachatrim Shadam Ragil Ikech Baritzir V'Chikur Katul Olo Yitzeh Bayovel. So this is, if anything, almost the opposite. Right, and if anything, the Chizkuni argues that the Torah has no problem with inherited wealth, right? Because he says, look, houses, why does the Torah say a house in a walled city never goes in Yovel? Because people buy houses forever, and they don't change, and you build your house, and it becomes your home, right? and you become attached to it and you invest in it. That type of thing the Torah doesn't want to take away from you. The reason, right, again, it's almost the opposite. He says, what about fields? He says, look, fields, sometimes you work your own field, but sometimes you rent it out, right? We know from the Gemara that was a very common thing, Arisut Chakirut, where you said, look, I don't really want to be involved in agriculture. I have a field. I'll hire somebody else. And either I'll say, Adam, you can take my field. I'll pay you, you know, $50,000 a year to work my fields. Or I'll say, take 25% of whatever you produce. Meaning fields, right? Yes, people work their own fields, but people also have other people work the fields, right? Meaning it is just a means to an end, right? It's a way of producing. And therefore, eventually you just reshuffle it, right? Because, right, it's a means to a parnassah. But dafka, those things where people invest themselves in the thing itself, right, as an end, there the Torah doesn't want to take it away from you. So, according to the Ramban, we have no raya, so to speak, that the Torah doesn't want you to pass on, you know, things to your children, if that's going to, like, you know, create divergences in the financial situation, inequality. If anything, the Chizkuni argues, no, the Torah has absolutely no problem with that at all.
Why would the Torah allow any selling whatsoever if it didn't want to?
So again, you weren't here yesterday, but that's exactly Jabotinsky. You didn't come for the Parsha, I mean. They weren't in Yeshiva. I'm just saying Parsha. No. So we were just talking about Jabotinsky's view, right? The Torah is essentially corrective capitalism, where it wants to let people have freedom to do what they want, and if whatever that means, to pursue whatever they want, and if that means some inequalities arise, that's fine. But it has correctives because it doesn't want to spiral out of control. So it doesn't want people to be destitute, right? Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, it doesn't, right, as this is his fundamental insight against Herzl, is that Yovel is corrective, it's not prophylactic, right? It's not like inequality and differences between people in the Torah is something that needs to be avoided. It's just that it can't get out of control. So he's like, it's not a vaccine, right? Right? Socialism is like a vaccine, right? No one can ever have any inequality. As opposed to the Torah, which says we correct certain things, it doesn't spiral out of control. But if anything, you see in the Chizkuni, he's like, no, when people invest themselves in something, we want you to pass it on, right? It's just that things that people aren't attached to as ends in the same way, right? They use them, they give them to other people to work and stuff like that. So we want to make sure that people have the means to do that. If they want to rent it out afterwards, we don't care. It's just about ownership and things like that. Right. So again, so if anything, you see that opposite view in the Chizkuni. Now, you know, I could think of other views. I didn't get a chance to look through all the Mefarshim on it, but I could think of other views as well. Right. You could argue that there's a security element to it as well. Right, walled cities were the most secure, right? And therefore, it's not just for the person that you need stability, but you need stability for the country, right? It was, right, fortified cities are, right, this is like the, right, this is the strong point militarily for a country. And if you basically said at Yovel, right, imagine, right, you invest in the infrastructure, you have people living there, that's the basis that you make decisions and figure out how you're going to protect the area, and then Yovel, right, you kick everybody out, and now new people live in your military, right, your critical military city, right, and you send everybody home, and you put people who haven't lived there in half a century, right? So I could definitely see there being, you know, security reasons here, that because of the way walled cities function beyond the individual, I think that's also probably an important point. The Or HaChaim takes an attempt at it. He says, "Achash Amar Inyan Mechar Abayit." One second. Right, he takes a metaphorical read on. He says, "Chazar Katuv Latei Tam LaDavar Echia Davar Hazeh Shimkar Hashem Achuzato Bera Bechira." Right, he says this is all a mashal. Right, or you should take it also to symbolic level, which is, if you ask the question, why does God sometimes give up with the Beit HaMikdash? Tim Kor Beit Moshav, Perish Bayit Shebo Moshav Elokim Zeh Beit HaMikdash, Ir Choma Zeh Yerushalayim, and it's the house in Yerushalayim, it's symbolic, right? And he said, Maratam V'Vaita Gulato, Shemzut Zeh Adar Rabba Nig'al, Derech Amram V'Bazuk Mizmar La'asaf, Shishlish Hashem Chamatol Eitim Avanim, Shizulat Zeh Lo'ayin Yisharam Yisrael Saridu Palit. It's symbolic, which is, he quotes the Midrash that says the reason God destroyed the Beit HaMikdash was that he wouldn't destroy us because he cares about us. So he'd rather take out his wrath in the house. But that's what gives us hope that he'll one day redeem us because he cares about us. Right? So the Or HaChaim says the whole thing here is symbolic. Now, does that mean that he thinks that's the only reason for this halacha to be a metasitis? I don't know. I doubt it, right? But it's another layer of explanation. Yes. Yosef.
This is also just about preserving principles where green seeds, clams are not as powerful as non-effective force. So it's previously, they're not the moon, so you always have a lot of preserve
plans. Yeah, it's also possible that Yosef is right. And you find this a lot in, you know, that the dynamic in cities is very different in terms of, right, what it's supposed to. Right, cities are more cosmopolitan, right? Everyone does their own thing, right? I think that's a very modern read, which I think actually has a lot of merit to it. Again, I didn't get a chance to look at the Mefarshim. I really should have, but I only thought about this morning. It was sort of like mulling in my head that I wanted to talk about it. But yeah, I think you might be right, right? That it could also be that, yeah, agricultural areas lend themselves more to family living, right, amongst each other, right? As opposed to cities where sort of their identity is in their cosmopolitan nature, that everyone comes, they do what they want, they, right, they find themselves individually in that type of context, right? Like the land not going back is okay, right? It's like, yeah, where you have, you know, you set up a, you know, that's basically cities. Cities, right, there isn't that shared identity in the same way. Anyone who wants to live there moves and they make a life for themselves, right? And then they each have their niche because everyone's in one place that you can find all types of things. Yeah, it could be that the social dynamic is different and therefore it doesn't require the same return. Yeah, I think there's a lot of explanations. Those are a few that I came across since I decided to think about it. But I do think it is important to realize this is a halacha because in many ways it does shape the way we think about Yovel, because this glaring exception forces us to rethink. If I find other things, maybe I'll share it tomorrow. Okay.